الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل الله فلا هادي له. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له. ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد بعد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، وما جعلنا لبشر من قبلك الخلد. وقال علي رضي الله تعالى: ارتحلت الدنيا مدبرة وارتحلت الآخرة مقبلة، ولكل واحد منهما بنون، فكونوا من أبناء الآخرة ولا تكونوا من أبناء الدنيا، اليوم عمل بلا حساب وغدا حساب بلا عمل. صدق الله العظيم وصدق لرسوله النبي الكريم، ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. Honored ulama ikram, respected elders and brothers, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. All praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who has blessed us with the beautiful gift of Iman and Islam. We all know that today is the day of Good Friday. But for a believer, every Friday is the best Friday of his life. While the world may go out there and worship whatever they want to worship, Allah has blessed us with the ability to worship the one and true Allah, which is Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal. And Allah has blessed us with a beautiful religion, and that is the Deen of Islam. Let us make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us on this Deen of Islam. Radina billahi rabba wa bil islami deena wa bi Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa sallam nabiyya wa rasoola. That we are pleased that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is our Rabb. We are happy at the fact that we have this Deen of Islam, and most certainly we are happy that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is our Prophet. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continuously bless us with this gift of Iman and Islam till we leave this world. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep this gift in our progeny till the day of Qiyamah, inshallah. Ameen. My respected elders and brothers, as Muslims, we all believe that a time will come when we will have to leave this world. And this is a truth that no one can deny. In today's world, irrespective of the religion a person may come from, whatever religious denomination he may belong to, everyone will agree that we have to leave this world. In fact, in today's time, people can argue and debate about God and different types of gods. People can go into full debate in this. But at the end of the day, irrespective of the religion that they follow, they all will agree a time will come when we have to leave this world. So whether it be if a person believes in the process of reincarnation, or he believes like that person who came to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, who picked up a bone, a dry bone, and he crushed it in front of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and he said, "Yuhyil idhama wa hiya rameem." That who is there? What are you talking about? In other words, who will give life to this bone that has perished into dust in front of me? Not even accepting at the fact that a time will come, you'll have to wake up again. My respected brothers, the bottom line is this much. A day will dawn where you and I will cease to exist. A day will certainly come. The sun will rise on one day. People will wake up from their sleep. Doors will open. People will go to work. The cars will move. The animals will talk, the birds will chirp, the earth will rotate. But you and I, a day will come when we will become a distant memory. But as a Muslim, it is important for us to acknowledge that this mortality, this life that Allah has given us, must be used to cultivate a deeper understanding and appreciation of life with its objectives. And this very same life that Allah has given us must be used for the obedience of Allah and must be used to build ourselves for the akhirat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us in the Quran, where Allah says, وَمَا جَعَلْنَا لِبَشَرٍ مِّن قَبْلِكَ الْخُلْدِ, that there is no man on the face of this earth that Allah has created in such a manner that he or she is going to live forever. And this is a fact. And like this, there are so many verses of the Quran that teach us this important fact, that we're never going to live in this world forever. And all this is done to nullify and constantly remind us that living forever is nothing but a flimsy thought, and it will never happen. So whilst we do understand that we have to leave this world, as a Muslim, we know well too that the time will come when this world itself will also perish. It too will also die. And the best life is the life in the hereafter. Imam Bukhari rahimahumullah, he brings about a narration of Hazrat Ali radiallahu an. But this narration of Hazrat Ali radiallahu an is based on a Quranic ayat. So basically, Hazrat Ali radiallahu an was explaining a Quranic ayat, and there are two. So the first ayat was where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَمَنْ زُحْزِحَ عَنِ النَّارِ وَأُدْخِلَ الْجَنَّةَ فَقَدْ فَازْ وَمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَتَاعُ الْغُرُورِ. That's the first ayat. So in this ayat here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the fact, فَمَنْ زُحْزِحَ عَنِ النَّارِ, that person who has the ability to save himself from the hellfire, from the fire of Jahannam, وَأُدْخِلَ الْجَنَّةِ, and has been able to make himself from amongst the people who will be admitted into Jannah. May Allah grant it to us all, inshallah. Ameen. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, this person here, faqad faz. A simple word. He is indeed successful. Whatever success a person might have in this world can never match the fact that the most successful person in this world and the hereafter will be the one who can save himself from the fire of Jahannam and find entry into Jannah. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَتَاعُ الْغُرُورِ. And what is of this life? It's a rhetorical question. What is of this life? Except that it is nothing but enjoyment of delusion. And the second ayat, which is in the 14 juz of the Holy Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ذَرْهُمْ, leave them. يَأْكُلُوا وَيَتَمَتَّعُوا وَيُلْهِهِمُ الْأَمَلُ فَسُوفَ يَعْلَمُونَ. That leave them, let them be. Let them eat and enjoy. Let them make false hope their rope, where they can hold on to thinking that it's going to last forever. سُوفَ يَعْلَمُونَ. Soon they will wake up to reality. Under these two verses of the Quran, Ali radiallahu an, Imam Bukhari brings this narration, and he says that Ali radiallahu an said, ارتحلت الدنيا مدبرة وارتحلت الآخرة مقبلة. Then he gives advice to man and he says, ارتحلت الدنيا مدبرة, run away from this dunya. Live a life as if you are running away from this dunya. وارتحلت الآخرة مقبلة, and chase after the akhirat. Today, unfortunately, we do the opposite. We run away from the akhirat and we're chasing the dunya. So he says, no, do it the other way. Run away from this dunya. Chase after the akhirat. And then he further elaborates and he says, وَلِكُلِّ وَاحِدٍ مِّنْهُمَا بَنُونَ. You must know that both these places, this dunya and the akhirat, both of them have children. فَكُونُوا مِنْ أَبْنَاءِ الْآخِرَةِ وَلَا تَكُونُوا مِنْ أَبْنَاءِ الدُّنْيَا. But I want to give you advice. Do not become the child of this dunya. Become the child of the akhirat. Why? Al-yawm amalun bila hisab, wa ghadan hisabun bila amal. Because your life in this world will be of such a nature that today you can do as you want. You can do whatever deed you desire, and there'll be not a single person to take you to task for it. Do as you please. There will be no one that will take you to task for it. But be aware that tomorrow, وَغَدًا حِسَابٌ بِلَا عَمَلٍ. But tomorrow on the day of Qiyamah, tomorrow will be the day where you will be taken to task for everything. And you will not be even given a split second to do any good whatsoever. What a profound statement. So in order for us to prepare for the life in this next, for the next life, my respected Alis and brothers, it is compulsory for us to constantly remember the breaker of all ties that exists between us, the breaker that exists between us, the breaker that exists between our loved ones and us, our items of this dunya, and anything that connects us to this world. And that breaker is none other than death. It is mentioned once that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed by a group of people. And he saw these people laughing, talking, joking. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was rahmatul lil alameen, a mercy unto mankind. And there was no one on the face of the earth that had so much concern for his people like our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the true love for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, inshallah, ameen. So he goes up to them and he speaks to them and he says, may I give you some advice? They said, of course, O Nabi of Allah, why not? Who will be foolish enough not to take advice from Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? So he tells them and he says, mix your gathering with that thing that spoils pleasure, that spoils gatherings and pleasure. So they said, O Nabi of Allah, what is the spoiler of pleasures? Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, speak more about death than anything else. In another narration, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam mentions and he says that if animals possessed the knowledge that you and I have in matters pertaining to death, you will never ever find a healthy animal. In other words, these animals will get so worried by death itself that they would not want to consume anything in this world. Ulama speak about thinking about a long life. In the time of Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, he passed by a lady sitting under a tree with her child. So this lady said, O Nuh alayhi salam, tell me in the years to come and the time to come, what will be the lifespan of people? He said, a time will come on this world where the lifespan of people will be about 60 to 70 years. She woke up and she said, what? 60 to 70 years? He said, yes. She said, I take an oath in Allah's name. My youngest child is 120. And if that's the case, and if I'm living at that time, I would not even bother building a house. I'll stay under this tree. Look at how they were. Imam Ghazali rahimullah has written a very long and beautiful chapter on regards to death in the kitab called Ihya ul-Ulumuddin. And this is where I base my topic on today. So he mentions and he says, scholars write and they say, kafa bil mawti mufarriqa wa kafa bil mawti wa'idha. He mentions and he says, death is sufficient as a separator. وَكَفَى بِالْمَوْتِ وَعِظَى. And he says, death is such a thing that just the mere mentioning of the word death is enough to be a bayan and a lecture. It's enough to that. That's all you need to say. It's supposed to be such that even if I had to stand here and not take so much time and just say, remember death, it should have such an impact on us. That's all we need. But the question is, how do we view this? Given to our current life, how do we really view death? Sometimes, you know, when we speak about death, we get so frustrated. We get so angry. And we get upset at the people who are telling us about it. Yet we don't realize that it is something that will visit every single one of us. There's no escape of it. Shaqiq bin Ibrahim, rahimullah, said, there are things by which man conforms to Allah by way of his tongue, but he opposes Allah by way of his actions. I'm going to say it again and I want you to absorb it. He says there are things by which man conforms to Allah by way of his tongue, but he opposes Allah by way of his actions. You know, when I read this, this just took me, and I hope it has the same effect on you, inshallah. He says, mankind says that we agree that we all are the slaves of Allah. Mankind says and agrees that we all are the slaves of Allah. But his deeds are like that of a free person. In other words, he has no fear of accountability in front of his true master. He says, mankind is such that he agrees that the hereafter is more virtuous than this world, more better than this world, more beautiful than this world, more everything than this world. Yet his actions show love to this world. For his love for this world is unbreakable, and his love for the akhirat is detestable. He says, mankind agrees that death is inevitable. There's no way we can get around it. Yet his deeds are like those who don't want to die. So this pretty much sums up our life and how we view our life in this world and that cutter of all ties, which is death. My beloved brother, it's important to remember that the remembrance of death in all conditions is imperative, especially for us as Muslims. And it's never done, wallahi, it is never done to dampen the spirit of anyone. In fact, it is also a cause of reward, especially for the one who is engrossed in dunya. But alas, unfortunately, today the mere mention of death has become a bitter pill to swallow. Mawlana, don't talk about death. No, we had enough about this. We don't want to know about it anymore. No. Let's talk about something else. Why are you breaking us? Why are you mixing it in our gatherings? This is how we become. Scholars write that when a person remembers death excessively, Allah will honor him with three things. The first thing is, Allah will allow him to repent quickly. And because he's able to repent quickly, it will lead him to committing less sin, and it will push him towards doing more rewardable actions. Simply because now he knows that death is breathing down on my neck. And he knows that every step he takes could be the very last step of his life. I want to share with you a simple wisdom. You know, when we enter the toilet to relieve ourselves, we are told to enter the bathroom with our left foot. You read the dua before you enter, right? And you enter with your left foot. And when you leave the bathroom, you are told to leave with your right foot, and you read the dua after. So what is the wisdom for entering with the left foot and leaving with the right foot? Scholars write and say that this is a remembrance of death. How? That if a person had to fall down, if a person had to collapse and die at that moment in time, when he's about to enter the toilet with his left foot, Allah Ta'ala has made it such that if he had to fall, he will fall backwards on his left foot, thus not passing away in the toilet. And if he had to leave the toilet with his right foot and he had to pass away, Allah Ta'ala will cause him to fall forward and not die in the toilet. But the same thing is reversed when we enter the masjid. When you enter the house of Allah, you enter with the right foot. Why? Because if you had to die, you will die in the masjid. And if you had to leave the masjid, you leave with your left foot. Why? Because if you had to die, you'll die inside the masjid falling back. So even these steps that we take remind us of how close death is to us. Because now if a person knows, he will repent quickly and he'll move towards good. Because he knows that every step of my life is the last step that I might take. Rather, I use these steps in the obedience of Allah instead of using the steps in the disobedience of Allah. The second honor Allah will bestow him with is that he will become content with his wealth and constantly show gratitude to Allah. Because he knows he's not going to take it. He knows his life is short. So whatever he has, he has. There's no need to amass, as a result of which now he will use this wealth. He will take every cent that he has and use it for the obedience of Allah. And he'll show gratitude to Allah, not worrying if he could get more, because he's completely content. And the third one is that he will find naturally it will come to him, the eagerness to increase his ibadat. He will find eagerness to do more and more ibadat. His piety itself will grow in leaps and bounds. And he'll find within him the true sweetness of iman and ibadah. Because now he understands that the objective of life, what's it all about? My time limit is not long. I now know what I have to do. But when a person becomes unmindful of death, he will be dishonored in three ways. The first thing will be given to him is that he will delay in tawbah. He'll think that there's enough time in the world to retire from sin. He will have what you and I call a nonchalant behavior, a nonchalant attitude, a relaxed attitude. Like how someone said once, you know, Maulana, don't encourage us to do ibadat. So I said, but why, my brother? He said, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam received nubuwwat at 40. So at 40, inshallah, we'll decide to change our lives. This is the attitude we have, this nonchalant attitude, this relaxed attitude. No, no, there's still time. Let my kids get married, then I'll concentrate on ibadat. Let me go for my first hajj, then I'll change my life. Let me go for umrah, then I'll change my life. So we have this idea and this ideology that there's enough time in the world for me to change my life. The next one is, he will never be happy with his income. Constantly he will complain. Constantly he will complain. If he had one mountain, like Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that if a person had one mountain of gold, he will never be happy until he has two. If he had two, he will never be happy until he has three. وَلَيَّمْنَهُ الْفَاهُ إِلَّا التُّرَابُ وَيَتُوبَ اللَّهُ عَلَى مَنْ تَابُ. But he doesn't realize that nothing will fill his mouth except sand. He will never be happy. And he now will become truly the child of the dunya, like I mentioned to you in the narration of Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu. Laziness and procrastination will become the order of his day. As the poet so beautifully mentions, and he says, Hayatuka anfasun fakullama madat naqasat bihi juz'a. Life is nothing but a few calculated breaths. That every time you exhale, a portion of your life is gone, never to return. Never to return. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha, on one occasion, she asked Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, she said, O Nabi of Allah, will there be anyone that will be resurrected on the day of Qiyamah with the martyrs? Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam replied and said, anyone who constantly remembers death up to 20 times a day, Allah will raise him up on the day of Qiyamah with the martyrs. And the reason for this virtue is, ulama write and they say, is that the remembrance of death turns a person away from this world of delusion. It makes him realize that this world is nothing. And now he starts preparing for the year after. And heedlessness towards death allows a person to be drowned and consumed by this dunya. The poet so beautifully mentions and he says, وَلَا خَيْرَ فِي الدُّنْيَا لِمَنْ لَمْ يَكُلْ لَهُ مِنَ اللَّهِ فِي دَارِ الْمَقَابِ نَصِيبُ فَإِنْ تَعْجَبَ الدُّنْيَا رِجَالًا فَإِنَّهُ مَتَاءٌ قَلِيلُ وَالزَّوَالُ قَرِيبُ. That وَلَا خَيْرَ فِي الدُّنْيَا لِمَنْ لَمْ يَكُلْ لَهُ فِي دَارِ الْمَقَامِ نَصِيبُ. That there is no good in this world if a person cannot understand his objective. There's no good in this world if a person cannot use this world to get closer to Allah. فَإِنْ تَعْجَبَ الدُّنْيَا رِجَالًا فَإِنَّهُ مَتَاءٌ قَلِيلُ وَالزَّوَالُ قَرِيبُ. That if a world, this world oppresses man, if it impresses man, then this man must understand that it too itself will die and the enjoyments within it is also very brief. In another hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and I played on this word and I said to you that death is not there to dampen our spirits. The remembrance of death is not there to dampen our spirit. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mentions in a hadith and he says, تحفة المؤمن. The best gift of a believer, al-maut, is death. Why? Scholars write and they say that when you look at this world for a believer, this world is indeed a prison. He has to face off against shaitan. He has to fight against his nafs. He has to meet up with bad people. He has to be in the company with wrong people. He has to go through sickness. He has to go through so many difficulties, emotional stress, and buckets of problems. Yet death releases him from all of this. And if he prepares well in time, it puts him into everlasting bliss and happiness. Imam Ghazali rahimullah writes and he says that in this world you will find people who are so preoccupied with this world that they become drunk in the vanity of this world and become addicted to the love and desire of this world. Look at the world today. People are upset with the way they look, they change it. People are upset about one shoe, they have 50 shoes. Look at how we're running after this dunya. Look at how we've become drunk in this dunya. That I cannot live with this, I must have that type of car. I cannot even the suburb I stay to. No. It's belittling to stay in this suburb. I must stay in that area. Look at how we have chased after this dunya. As a result of which, automatically the heart becomes ignorant. But man fails to realize, as Allah mentions in the Quran, قُلْ إِنَّ الْمَوْتِ تَفِرُّونَ فَإِنَّهُ مُلَاقِيكُمْ. This very same death that you're running away from, you must know well, wherever you run, it will find you. ثُمَّ تُرَدُّونَ. And then you're going to return إِلَىٰ عَالِمِ الْغَيْبِ, to the one who has knowledge over everything. فَيُنَبِّئُكُمْ. And Allah himself will inform you of what you did. In another ayat, Allah says, أَيْنَمَا تَكُونَ. Wherever you are, يُدْرِكُمُ الْمَوْتِ. This death is going to find you. وَلَوْ كُنْتُمْ فِي بُرُوجِ مُشَيَّرَ. Whether you're hiding in a fort, whether you are sitting on the plane, whether you're hiding in a bunker, upon its appointed time, death will find you. No bodyguards in the world, no army in the world, no bulletproof vest, no tank, no jet, nothing will save you. He then further says that people are of three types. He said those who are busy in the world and they have no time for death, for the remembrance of death, they become such that even you talk to them about death, they get upset. And how you know they are caught up in this dunya? That if they miss something in the dunya, it's like the whole world came to an end. Something minuscule, something small. If you forget to tell them, for example, happy birthday, Muazzin, happy birthday, Muazzin. The person gets so upset. How can you not wish me? We're so caught up with this dunya. And if you speak to them about dunya, they blame everything on the world. Never happy. He says the second type of people are those who lived a life of sin and now realize their error and want to change their life and are constantly making tawbah. These people also fear death because now they realize that their time is almost up. They need more time so they could turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They want to meet Allah, but they want to meet Allah in such a state that all their sins are forgiven. And he says the third type of people or person is the one who recognizes and understands his objective of life. He is waiting for death. He's got everything checked and ready. He just can't wait to get out of this dunya. That's how excited he is. We have to ask ourselves, which category do we belong to? You know, I want to give you an example. We've been through school. And not in today's time, back in the day, when they would give us an assignment, the teachers will tell us, you know, the assignment you have 2 months to do. In those days, you had to go to the library, you had to stand in the queue, the assignment library, take out what you had to do, make photocopies, bring it home. And you couldn't just type it, you had to write it out. You couldn't just take that picture and put it in your book. No, you had to write it out. So it was a long process. So the example is given that those people who were given that assignment, that same moment they would go to the library. There were people like that, and I'm sure you came across them. As soon as they get a chance, they would go to that library and they will start their assignment. And even well before the deadline, the assignment is ready. They would even go to the teacher and say, sir or ma'am, whatever it may be, my assignment is ready, can you take it? The teacher will say, no, it's not time now. I will collect it. And they'll be eagerly waiting for that assignment to be handed in. Then you get the others like me and you. Those are the ones that are like, tomorrow, man. 2 months is enough. 1 month goes, still 4 weeks. 30 days enough. And then the next day and the next day goes, no, it's still enough. I'll do it this weekend. Yeah, it's due next week. And the weekend goes. And now the day comes, you have to give in that assignment. Now we got gabarat. Now we're looking in the car park to see if the teacher's car is there or not. If the teacher's car is not there, alhamdulillah. We're excited. But we didn't even realize that I've got another chance to make it right. Alhamdulillah. We're just excited it's not yet. We leave it for tomorrow. And when that day comes and you have to give in the assignment and it's not given in, and we are the ones that are sitting with that zero mark. And the one who's happy to give it, he's got full marks. It's exactly our life, this world, and Allah. That's how it has to be. My time is up, my respected brothers. I just want to share with you some points that I read and of our pious predecessors. Atta ibn Yasir, rahimullah, mentions, and it's food for thought. He says, on the 15th of Shaban, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala writes down the names of those people who are going to die during the course of the year. And the angel of death is given this list. How sad it is that the people of the world still prepare for nikahs and decorating beds and building houses, etc., where they don't realize that at that year, that's the time they're going to die. Rabi ibn Khatim, rahimahullah, used to say that there's no absence a believer should look more forward to than death. He himself, people would say, he would dig a grave in his yard, in his backyard, and for several hours he would sit there. You and I would see it, we'll say, this man has gone off his head. He says, I used to sit there for several hours in the day. And when people ask me, I would tell them, I fear, I do not even want my heart to become negligent of the akhirat for a few seconds. Because if that had to happen, my entire life would be corrupted. A pious person, once said, and he told his brother that, my brother, remember death in this world. Otherwise, a time will come, you will go to such a place where you will wish for death, but death won't even be around. Referring to Jahannam. Ibn Sirin, rahimullah, used to gather the ulama and the pious, and they used to talk about death so vividly that at the end of that discussion, everyone would cry so much as if the janazah of their beloved was right in front of them. So this remembrance of death is something that we have to do. It's something that we have to understand. None of us should live a life where we feel we're going to live forever. Take from the dunya whatever you have to take. Make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah throw this dunya at our feet, but never in our heart. Our real heart must be connected to the akhirat. This is what we have to work for. As Abu al-Hasan Nadwi rahimullah mentions, and he says regarding the death of Fir'aun, he says, "Matat maliku misrin, ba'idun an arshihi, ba'idun an sultanihi, la tabibun yudawihi, wala sadiqun yuwasihi, wala aynun tabkihi." He says, the end of the king of Egypt, Fir'aun, has come. He's dead. Ba'idun an arshihi. He passed away far away from his throne. Ba'idun an sultanihi. Far away from his kingdom. La tabibun yudawihi. There was not a doctor on site to give him medication. Wala sadiqun yuwasihi. Nor a friend to comfort him. Wala aynun tabkihi. And not even a single person to shed a tear for him. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the reality and understanding of death. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us a tawfiq to prepare for it. My respected brothers, please let us not forget the people and brothers and sisters in Palestine. The death toll up to now has reached over 60,000. We are witnessing a genocide in front of our very eyes of the Muslim Ummah. Let us make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alleviate their sufferings. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant the Ummah victory. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina Muhammad. Subhanallah bihamdi, subhanakallah bihamdika, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.